verses 30 and 31, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. It is through faith that we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear, which we keep bringing that back. We appear to a world that does not know us, just as it did not know Christ. 1 John 3:1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew him not. So that's a very important point to have in our hearts. God has given us the confidence through Christ to keep fighting a good fight of faith as we labor in the world, in a world of unbelief, as living witnesses to the fact that the things which are seen in our personal lives were not made of things which do appear, but rather were made by the invisible God, who by faith we are granted to continue to endure seeing, which is what Hebrews 11:27 says. As he frames our heavens with his word that is sanctifying us so that spiritual fruit can be formed through his workmanship that we are. And so as he does that work, we see him. We see the fruit of our life, the fruit on the tree, as a result of Christ working in our heavens and in the body of Christ. Christ did not say you shall know them by their denomination or by the specific church they attend, but rather that a tree is known by its fruits, and that by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. These are the fruits of the invisible God that we see being born in the body of Christ through obedience. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him. If you love me, keep my commandments. So obedience is an interesting subject, because Christ learned obedience by the things that he suffered and cried out, and God provided that spirit without measure. He provided whatever he needed in every instance of his life. And Christ says, you will drink the cup, because he knows the elect body will be provided that same measure of faith that we need to go through whatever God sets before us. And that's the confidence that we have. And that's the confidence that we pray that we can maintain, that nothing will separate us from the love of God. It's his workmanship, and we are his workmanship. These two verses we're looking at tonight focus on specific signs that God gave his people in order to teach us how we are going to obtain a better resurrection by being hidden in Christ as we are judged in this life, as the church is being judged. It is by being hidden in Christ and through judgment that Christ will destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Deliverance happens by grace through faith that, if given, is certain to accomplish what our Father has ordained it to do by bringing us into subjection unto our hope of glory within us as we die daily. And that was very evident in Christ's life. He was being brought into subjection unto the Father through the trials and cried out, if there be some other way, but nevertheless, your will be done. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who was subjected the same in hope. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So that's what we're subject to one another as unto Christ. We're subject to that hope. We're subject to that reality that we are being apprehended by Christ. And we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that it's Christ working in us both to will and to do of the Father's good pleasure. It's his good pleasure to show the world, the bride, the workmanship, the power that he has, the ability to say, I'm going to start something and finish it. This is God's workmanship. If we are God's living sacrifice, which is what Galatians 2:20 tells us, as it says, we live by the faith of Christ, that has been bound to the altar, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. And in this study, we'll look at two very important signs, the first being the meaning of the story of the Battle of Jericho, as well as Rahab, who hid the spies. These stories point to the one sign that Christ gave to an unbelieving generation that we once were, but who are now hidden in the church, typified by the great fish that swallowed up Jonas and took him where our sovereign God had already purposed according to the counsel of his own will. That experience for Jonas was a type of judgment upon the church, just as the Battle of Jericho is. Rahab hiding the spies is symbolic of our being hidden in Christ, in the earth, like Jonas, who typifies Christ being in the midst of the church, where again judgment takes place, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against his body. So those stories are all wrapped together like that. And for some reason, you know, I've read the Bible long enough, and I never made a connection with the two stories, and I didn't realize, oh, this is all the same story, Rahab and Jericho. And of course, they're intricately entwined, they're right together. But all of a sudden, you know, this week was a very blessed revelation to see that more clearly. Matthew 20:12 verses 39 and 40, but he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as, that's an interesting statement, because that does not mean there would be, that's the only sign, because this is not true. But Christ is saying for that generation, when we are needing to see things with our eyes, that's what he's telling us. And that generation needed to see something, and that caught their attention, but that's not conversion. Blessed are they who believe and who have not seen. For as Jonas was 3 days, and here's the thing that they didn't see. They saw the event, the physical event, like many people do, like we all did, but they didn't see the spiritual meaning of the physical event. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And you know, the earth is the church that's going through a process of judgment. And of course, that's why it says, oh, earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. We're being judged, and we're being given to see as a result of that judgment. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Let us be glad. Now this is the point. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife, which is the church, which is that great fish, has made herself ready, because God has prepared us. He has prepared the bride for the Lord. And that's something to greatly rejoice in. Christ said it this way, don't rejoice that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice rather that your name is written in heaven. It's the same thing, because if that's the case, then God is able to prepare you in this life to be that bride and to overcome. Pardon me. Verse 30, the first verse, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. In the story of Jericho's walls falling down, the parallel is being clearly drawn for us, how Christ's spirit in us is the only way we can overcome the spiritual blindness that is inherent within all flesh that cannot inherit the kingdom of God and must be put off or fall down flat like the walls of Jericho. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin, but now you say we see. Therefore your sin remaineth. Seeing in your flesh, being found with your own righteousness, it's all the same thing. And that's where God doesn't want us to be. And of course, that's the miracle that has to happen in our lives, to be found with his righteousness. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Before that happens when we're shown and recognize what we are, the pride, then of course those walls begin to come down. Joshua 6:20. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. So that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. It is when Christ was coming out of Jericho with his disciples that a blind man by the name of Bartimaeus cried out to him asking for mercy, that God gave this man. And Christ acknowledged by saying, go your way, your faith has made you whole. And they came to Jericho, and as he was went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, it says, or the unclean, is the son of the unclean, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard it, that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, the son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he would hold his peace. Sort of like those, when those stones were crying out, right? They said, and this was not going to be stopped. This was not going to be prevented. Jesus, I lost my place. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. It's interesting, Jesus stood still. Even that point is important. Because when something stops moving, your eyes are drawn toward it. Christ was to stand still in our life, and we all of a sudden now we see Christ, and all of our life we were looking for him. Now all of a sudden our attention is drawn to him. And what does he do? And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what will you that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go your way, your faith has made you whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. What blinds us from being able to say that we can't see is found in the very definition of the word Jericho. But if we are judged of God in this life, he takes away that blindness that is caused by operating by the light of the moon rather than by the light of Christ. The moon is symbolic of our righteousness as opposed to his. And it is only when we're given to acknowledge our blindness by God's goodness that leads us unto repentance that we can then cast away our filthy garments, as Bartimaeus did, rather than remain with the seven women who take hold of one man without following Jesus in the way, as this man did, by the grace and faith that was given to him of God. And to that point, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, not that throwing away, casting away that garment, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And that's what this story, of course, symbolizes for us. Jericho, the word is a place of fragrance. And that's significant. It's the related word by Thayer's, a heap of Hebrew origin, H3405, Jericho again, its moon, and it says perhaps from H3394, the moon, its month, or else from H7306, smell, fragrant, ruah, notice, the smell of the moon, in other words. We're talking about the smell of the space. Well, this is the smell of the moon. And thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection, after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. And thou shalt beat some of it very small. James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That's that beating small. Let my prayer be set before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. So thou shalt beat it very small, shalt beat some of it very small, and put it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with thee. It shall be unto you most holy. And as for the perfume which thou shalt make, you shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof, which goes back to that verse we're talking about. Be not found in him, not having mine own righteousness. That's making it unto yourself, making a perfume, trying to, you know, by your many wonderful works, but not acknowledging that it's Christ's work. And therefore, it stinks, and God knows those works are the works that have to be destroyed. According to the composition thereof, it shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Whosoever shall make like unto that to smell, thereto shall even be cut off from his people. So there's that word ruach again, the smell of the moon. And that's the point, that when we're in Babylon, we do many wonderful works, but it's all very much, it's a sensual thing. It's coffee and donuts. It's not understanding what God has called us to do. It's not understanding the sacrifice. And that, of course, is a miracle. God brings us to see, okay, there's something much more to this. It takes the walls of our heavens being compassed about for 7 days, a complete process, which is typical of the judgment that we must endure through in this life of much tribulation, in order to enter into the temple of God where that blindness is taken away, through the seals, the trumpets, and the vials that are poured out upon us, so we can then worship God in spirit and in truth, through spiritual eyes that now see, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and a king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And of course, it's all symbolic of overcoming the powers and principalities within that we wrestle against and without. And you shall compass the city, all you men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. Luke 5:5. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. That's toiling. Those 6 days going around and around and around. Jacob was left alone, and the rest of the man with him until the breaking of the day. And so all of those things work together. They're fishing all day. That was part of the process, as well as the point when Christ said, now cast the net on the right side. And then, of course, the yield was great. In whom also you have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. And 7 priests shall bear the ark, 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow with the trumpets. And this is all telling us the need for the body of Christ to work together, to see the completion of God's work happens as a result of us all working together. He said unto them, notice, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Luke 5:10. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And that's what it takes, of course, the power of God. And we're ready to give an answer for the hope that's within us. But we know that God does the dragging and he does the calling. But we stand still. Like Christ, we stand. And then when Bartimaeus comes to us, then we're ready, because God's prepared our hearts. And that's what he's doing with the body of Christ. The ram's horn, and I've mentioned this in other studies, is a symbol of the power of the beast. That's the power of an animal, is the horn that is cut off from the animal and becomes an alarm for battle that is announced through the complete ministry of Christ, the 7 priests, via God's Holy Spirit that is symbolized by that witness of blowing air, that ruach, the Spirit of God, through the ram's horn. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. The symbolism of this event is found in Revelation 11:13. This is one section where it's found. It's found in other places, but, and after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud. There's that ascension. And their enemies beheld them. In the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. And the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. So there's that seven, right? 7,000. The priests doing that work that brings about that destruction of the flesh, that 7,000 in that sense is talking about the flesh. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? Revelation 15:4. For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues. So after he acknowledged that it was God's power doing this work, his heavens were open, and now this testimony was unfolding. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen. Remember that. And having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with the smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath upon the earth. In other words, do that judgment, and that's why 7,000 fall. When we're resurrected, if we're in that first resurrection, judgment's going to start upon the world. Judgment is upon us now, but judgment will be upon the world in a way that it's never been, in a very unique way that will lead, of course, to the great white throne judgment. But there will be a judgment, a physical rod of iron, not a physical rod of iron, but a physical way of dealing with the nations of the world, with Christ as our head. I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. And of course, we know that's why we read this, and it's good to see the whole scheme, because it starts with us, the body of Christ is judged. But we're being judged so that we can properly discern how the Lord would have us judge the nations and do what we're supposed to do. Hebrews 11:31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And we would perish along with those that believe not, if God did not grant us the faith by which we can gain victory over the king thereof and the mighty men of valor within us, to be saved alive, to dwell in Israel unto this day, which is what happened to Rahab. And of course, we're the Israel of God, so we dwell in heavenly places. We dwell in the Israel of God. We're raised in heavenly places because God has granted us that faith and given us that victory over the king and the mighty men of valor within us. So Rahab, who receive the spies with peace, is typical of our witness in this world, where by works is faith made perfect by God's Spirit. The physical work of the armed men compassing the city seven days is typical of the seven angels pouring out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. The earth representing the marred vessel that God made to be destroyed and made anew. Then said John 6, verses 28 and 29, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might do the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent." And this was really just a type of that, is right here, this declaration of faith of Rahab. "And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Seest thou how faith wrought with his," Abraham, "his works, and by works was faith made perfect. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead." The faith that God gives us overcomes the harlotry of our heart and produces the good fruit of peace that passes all earthly understanding. We are hidden in Christ and protect and hide each other in the Lord by receiving one another in him. It took faith for Rahab to receive the spies with peace, like it says. And we are called to follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Hebrews 12, verses 15 to 29, then expresses the dire consequence of not pursuing peace with all men, produced by laboring in the Word of God and thinking on those things that will in time manifest victory in our heavens and in our actions, because the Lord is purifying and strengthening us to be able to go through whatever he set before us. So we're making ourselves ready. He's preparing us for those things that are coming upon us. That will in time manifest victory in our heavens as we come to believe and be persuaded of the overwhelming evidence in God's word that tells us that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And that's really the last part of the story, is really just like the icing on the cake, because all of these stories of faith are leading up to point us to understand that there will be wars and rumors of wars. Things are going to get rough in this world. Oh, how rough. And we don't know, but we're not afraid, because Christ has said, "Don't be afraid. I'm telling you these things are going to happen. And I'm telling you your forefathers and these prophets of old have overcome. And they did that. And I caused that for your sake, for us, so that we can have confidence right now. No matter what happens, no matter how much the earth shakes, and no matter what we hear in the news or hear around us, God is going to perfect that faith within us. And he's using all things are for our sakes. All these stories, everything we read, are there to bolster our faith and to remind us who we are. Joshua 2:11, "And as soon as we, all the inhabitants of the land, Jericho, had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." So notice, our hearts did melt. So what do we do with that? What do we do as the body of Christ? How do we stand, having done all, stand in that day when things get rougher and rougher? What is the love of God going to wax cold? Not if God is working with us, not if we are his elect. He will strengthen our hearts. And wine makes glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face shine, and bread strengthens man's heart. All symbols of the word of God. And this is the bread that strengthens man's heart. We are talking about being at peace with all men. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things that are true, this is the bread, whatsoever things are honest. And that requires that, you know, the Lord drag us out of this world, because the world is full of dishonesty. It's full of, and it's in it, and it's, it harbors within us, and we have to fight it and overcome it and fall seven times and see, wow, this is so much in me that had to come out and is still coming out as we die daily. And that's the way God made us, to have to go through this process every day. Don't get war weary, because that's just the way it is for all of us. We have to overcome and die daily. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And I would add there that Paul wasn't saying, you know, I've got it all wrapped up, I'm doing it perfectly. He wasn't saying that. He was saying, follow me as I follow Christ. So those things which we learn, we go back, we revisit them. Even though we're established in them and we know that, we still need to die daily and remember that this is the well of life. This is a great fish. This is where we're being nourished, where the Lord is guiding and directing us to an end that is good. Like he says, I know the end of it. I know where I'm taking the bride of Christ. Romans 15:5-7. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may be with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive you one another, that idea of receiving, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. That's what he means, being received to the glory of God. Accepted through Christ. And there's such hope in that, because the scripture says, if God reconciled us by his death, how much more will he not save us by his life, which is in us? In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. To the intent, and where does that happen? Where does God happen to do that? This is all within the body of Christ, within each joint that supplies, within the communion that we have. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. It is through faith that we will understand that the worlds within us were framed by the word of God. And these two verses that we've looked at in Hebrews demonstrate how the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The events and details of the stories appear before us very plainly, but they have a hidden backstory that is found through the faith of Christ. That proof texting that we talked about last night, that when understood, the stories become profitable to us in ways that they could have never been, giving us a confidence of the workmanship that we are in Christ, portrayed for us in these living parables that have unfolded as prophecy for us today. And we know those verses declare that. We'll just look at one. It says, now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So remember that, upon whom the ends of the world come within us, and we'll know what that means in a second, and I'm sure we all do know it. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. And why is that being preached to us? Why do we have this manifest knowledge? As he says, it's for us in this age, the end of our world within. This, once again, upon whom the ends of the world will come. That's why all of these things were written. The end of our world within is what it's talking about, which consists of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, which is coming to an end through the faith of Christ that comes by hearing the word of God with eyes that see and ears that hear. And so, of course, boasting is excluded by the law of faith. God is just telling us, this is what I'm going to do, and this is how it's going to happen. If you're bound to that altar and you've been given eyes to see, it's for that reason, so that we cease from sinning and judgment can be upon us to that end, to that glorious end, that we may be made ready to be that bride. That faith is represented by the scarlet cord that Rahab hung out of her window, that only those who were privy to understand its meaning would then know where to go to be hidden as the spies were. So you have to pull this story together and look at the different scriptures to see it. And I honestly did never pull all of this together. And now it's just there right in front of us. Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go, view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." And the woman took the two men and hid them. And that's symbolic of the church, of course, and the two witnesses, and how we're hidden in Christ. And said thus, "There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for you shall overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. Now the order is important, the word order and flax, because the flax is representative of the linen. And being brought up on that roof is represents our being raised in heavenly places, just as the disciples were in the upper room to have that communion. So it's all tied together, a communion of Christ, the flax, doing all things decently and in order as the first fruits, the first to be hidden in Christ, to have that blessing of being nourished together. "Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which you did let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of the house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head." Just like the Passover, right? So there's the witness of that. That it's a type of the Passover, that upper room. And we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. So we talked about obedience, and there's a commandment to do this, and there's a commandment and obedience required. And if you utter this our business, this is a section, then we will be quit of thine oath, which you have made us to swear. That's the obedience part. And of course, God knows those who are his. They will obey. They will see the benefit of being hidden. Where will we go? You have the words of eternal life. Do I want to go out into the streets? No, I want to be where I'm safe. I want to be where I'm in the center with Christ and his body. And she said, "According unto your words, so be it." We are of God. He that knows God hears us. She hears the words of God, is what's being said here typically. He that is not of God hears not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. We go without the camp. So there's the faithfulness of God. The obedience was there, the sacrifice was made through Jesus Christ in our life, and God was faithful to reward us for that communion that we had, for the suffering that we went through. We filled up what's behind of the afflictions of Christ, and God recognized that because he was working it through Christ. But he fulfilled the promise of saving us at the appointed time. And Joshua saved Rahab, the harlot, alive. That's, it can't be said any clearer. And her father's household and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel, even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And so we help each other be hidden in the world. We are protecting each other, and we look well to ourselves and to the flock for that reason. We are those messengers to one another. We're protecting. For many are called, but few are chosen. We are hidden in Christ, and the few there is just that few, that little remnant that was protected when those walls came down. There they were. We are hidden in Christ, and it is through the communion of the blood of Christ, symbolized by the symbolic scarlet cord that is weaved throughout many stories in God's word that remind us that Christ's body, the temple of God, which is one body, has many members, and that we will overcome and come out of her, my people, together, just like that little entourage. Come out of her, Babylon. The harlot church is within, represented by the harlotry of Rahab's life. Exodus 26:31, and thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twine linen of cunning work, with cherubims shall it be made. That's another example of scarlet, not speaking of the veil in the temple, which veil was very thick. We're talking about the thickness of that veil. It's an incredible thing. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon, the great, is fallen, has fallen, has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? And she said, according unto your works, so be it. Words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. Very important. She bound. We have an altar where they have no right to eat, which served the tabernacle. If you put these together, God is the Lord, which has showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords unto the horns of the altar. So we're bound to the altar. And that is the table that we eat at, that no one has a right to eat at now. But we have that blessing to see this scarlet thread as being connected to our faith and of Christ, to the faith of Christ, and to the communion that we have. And then Psalms 22:6, but I am a worm, and that word there is scarlet, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So it doesn't matter what we think. And this is the great struggle that we all have. But truly, truly, Christ is telling us he's greater than our conscience. This is what it's telling us. The advocate will be tirelessly accusing the brethren, wanting to hold us down. And God says, that's when you cry out. And that's when the Lord sets us free. And he shows the adversary is what I meant. So we're overcoming through the blood of Christ, and Christ is our advocate, and of course Satan is the adversary, that he says he's greater than that adversary. 1 Corinthians 1:26, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. This is all in connection to that idea of the worm. God makes his strength perfect through that worm. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So this is all connected to the scarlet line. And this word line now is H8615. And look at what it means. It's hope, expectation. Remember we said earlier that God has a hope for us. I know the plans that I have for you. That expectation is realized through the faith of Christ, through the scarlet thread, through these prophecies that tell us that we're more than conquerors through Christ. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation, that hope, that line, shall not be cut off. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That's that line once again. That's that, all connected to that scarlet thread. The natural representation of our salvation is symbolized by the story of the birth of Tamar's twins, Zerah and Pharez. Tying that little scarlet cord around Zerah was a prophecy that all men will be saved. Each man in his order, by the spiritual one who would come afterwards, symbolized by the line of Pharez, of whom Christ was descended, the second Adam. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. That's the Zerah part. And the last Adam, a quickening spirit. And Savior shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Genesis 38:30, and afterwards came out his brother that had the scarlet thread upon his hand, and his name was called Zerah, which means, you can see the meaning there is Esau and Edom, rising, a son of Reuel and grandson of Esau, one of the dukes of the Edomites. Rising should remind us that, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Once that thread is tied around us, once we're bound to the altar, once our names are written in heaven, all saying the same thing, Christ is telling us, you're that royal priesthood. You're it. You're the one who God's chosen, the weak of the world, the priesthood that he's using, just as we heard, to take down the walls of Jericho within first, but also to take down the pride and the loftiness of man's hearts. And God knows exactly how to do that. So we are in his capable hands to see that all unfold. Next week, Lord willing, we'll conclude this chapter of Hebrews as we look at the last 9 verses that should deeply encourage us to see the lengths that God will go through to finish this work of faith within our heavens, giving us all these incredible examples of those who obtained a good report through these faith-filled actions but received not the promise. God having provided something better for us, the day without us should not be made perfect. And that's our study for this week. Thank you all for coming out.